this. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the understanding of what biblical holiness is. We've got our picture in our mind, and it's wrong. It's stoic, it's cold, it's black and white, colorless, tasteless. Your holiness is awesome. It's purity in glory. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's now being washed in the blood of the Lamb Jesus. It's a bunch of we get to. We get to follow God. We get to do the right thing. We're free from our past. We are living a new life by your power, not our own. We're not sweating it out. We're not trying harder. We thank you, Lord, for the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit. As your Bible tells us, it is the seal. He is the seal, the mark, the stamp of the guarantee. You're going to pick us up someday, and we're labeled on layaway, on hold. Or maybe more like an item you might see at a store where it says sold. We've been bought by Jesus. We thank you, Father, for that. And Lord, this special service today, we've warned people to not come today if they didn't mean business. Not a normal day here at Calvary, but we do believe it's a day that you want. And so, Father, we just give you this time in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated, church, and I know we've been making those announcements, but you may have wandered in here, and today's a very, very different day. No sermon today. We're going off of, in fact, we haven't done this in 34 years like this on a Sunday morning. And that is, Jesus says, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And our nation needs help. Our nation doesn't need help. Our nation needs life. It's not like it's against the ropes. It's on the deck. And we're going to, and so, by the way, so is the church in America. Sad to say. I'm kind of feeling like I'm living some sort of a historical lifespan lived out, where when I first heard the gospel and got saved in 1977, I didn't even realize, but it was totally cool and hip to be a Christian in Orange County in those days. There was the Jesus movement, hippies. Can you imagine that? Hippies were walking around. They went from walking around stoned out of their minds to carrying Bibles. You couldn't go to the beach without getting witnessed to by a hippie. Bible was everywhere. Remember, is anybody old enough to remember this sign? A few of you? One way Jesus. It was everywhere. Everybody was just doing this. But it was trendy to be a Christian in those days. And back at Calvary Costa Mesa in those days, if you didn't show up 1 hour before church, you were not going to get into the building. And God was moving. And now you fast forward to where we're at today. Things have changed, if you haven't noticed. But I first of all want to preface why the things have changed. It's because we know our Bibles, and it's crystal clear that God made Israel the barometer of his doings in the earth. Watch Israel. Keep your eye on Israel. Watch what I do with Israel. And since 1948, God has brought Israel back into the land, and God has been working a special work. He's been drawing his people from all over the world back into their promised land in unbelief. The Bible tells us that they would return in unbelief. And so we've lived that, and now we're at this moment of time where God is moving even more and more. But not only Israel, it's obvious that something's up in the entire earth, in the world today. You may be here today because you have taken up the challenge to come and to pray for our nation. The United States of America is in peril beyond your knowing. Be it in law enforcement, leadership, military in leadership, politics, government. It's beyond political repair, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry to tell you this, but I think you feel it. If God doesn't intervene by his grace, oh, please hear me. I can feel you taking this the wrong way. We've come here to pray to the Almighty God today. We're going to learn a little bit about prayer, and then we're going to pray. But I hope it's overwhelmingly obvious to you now, if it wasn't before, that God does not need election results for him to do his will. Are we to pray? Yes. Are we to do righteousness? That's the right things. Are we to do those? Yes. Are we to vote? We're already voting, right? Didn't you get your ballot the other day? By the way, today's our first day of ballot collection. You bring your ballots here. Fill them out. Go to realimpact.us. Look at the voter guide. Bring your ballots. If you have questions, there's people all over campus that are schooled on the propositions and the issues and the bills. But you can deposit your ballot here at this church under lock and key. And tomorrow, it will be taken to the County Board of Registrars office for four different counties. Why? That's the law. We're obeying it. And you can secure your vote. But the Christian is to vote. And you're to vote in a way that maybe with all things the way that they are, you can simplify it really easy. Vote for the defense of life. Amen. Vote pro-life. God is pro-life. God is pro-life. God says he will take the life. He will destroy the one who is wicked, who takes or sheds innocent blood. And there's no more of innocent blood than the unborn child. So when you go to vote, you vote for the pro-life party or the pro-life candidate. That's easy. That's not why we're here today. This is not a time, and we're not embarking upon the next 21 days. I'll give you this announcement in a moment here. We're not embarking upon these next 21 days so that any particular party will win. The problem in America is beyond Kamala Harris, it's beyond Donald Trump. Neither one of them can fix what's wrong with America. You need to know that. We are voting for a politician. We are not voting for a king. Our king is coming. He's not here yet. I wish he'd hurry up, but he's coming. But I'm going to ask all of you to get your phones ready. I'm going to ask you to take a QR code. Every single one of you, consider yourself Christians, and maybe you're visiting or not, I don't know, but I want you to scan this QR code, and I'll tell you why. And if you don't know how to scan a QR code, just go to your camera on your device, whatever it is, Apple or Samsung or what are those other Galaxy thingies or whatever. Scan this and make note of this. For the next 21 days starting tomorrow, we're going to be fasting and praying, all church fast and prayer. Start on October 14th. Tomorrow will end on November 3rd. But listen, every day starting tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., either the sanctuary will be open based upon services or funerals or whatever's going on. The sanctuary, you come and you pray from 6 to 4, stop by for 10 minutes, stop by for the entire time, stop by for an hour, just come and pray for our nation. Pray for God to send an awakening among the lost and revival among his people. But you'll be directed. If the sanctuary is occupied, then you'll just go to room 201, just to your right. But we are going to seek God. And I want to say this. I wasn't planning on saying this, but somebody last night at a restaurant provoked me to be very, very convicted about this. And that is, I have always believed that the Bible teaches us the right hand, do things in such a way that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. Jesus says, when you pray, you don't go, hey, everybody, I'm going to pray now. Jesus says, don't do that. And he says, when you fast, don't say, hey, I'm fasting. That's, look at me. Jesus said, don't do that. And when you do your good works, don't let their right hand know what the left hand is doing. God knows. I've taken that seriously in my life. So she reminded me, she said, Pastor Jack, with all that's gone on with Israel, are we helping them at all? And it was like a ton of bricks hit me in the face. I said, yes, a lot, all the time. We have been for years. Oh, because I never hear anything about that. And I said, you are right. We don't announce the good stuff we're doing. And I gave her the very reasons I just gave you. So first of all, I want you to know that we have supplied citizens with protection in Israel. We have supplied, because you know, they called up their entire armed forces. That means Israelis came back to Israel from all over the world to go back to get on their uniforms. They've never done this before. So they didn't have helmets. Can you imagine? We're glad you're here, but we can only give you half a uniform. So we bought a lot of helmets. Flak gear, night vision. But I want to also say, in light of this, just to set your heart at ease and to also excite you, that ever since the disaster hit North and South Carolina and parts of Tennessee, and now the most recent disaster in Florida, I just want you to know that we were immediately in touch with Franklin Graham and with Samaritan's Purse. And I want to say this officially, just because you should know this. It's kind of hard to keep it together because I'm angry. Because you're not seeing everything that you should be seeing. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with our media. I don't know what's going on. But when people who follow our television programs or radio programs or follow us online send us images of horses and cattle dead suspended in trees and humans still floating in water, babies to old people. What in the world is going on? Why isn't this on the news? What's happening? Why is it that I was talking to a man on Friday whose three friends and their families are completely homeless, who lived in Asheville, and their homes are gone? The amount of debt is not being reported. It's catastrophic. It's going to make Katrina look like a joke. And Franklin Graham and his team's trying to get in to help, and they're being withstood. They're being told, we know who you guys are, but it's dangerous out there. That's what we do. We're Samaritan's Purse. We do this around the world. We're the number one responder to crisis in the globe. What are you talking about? It's what we do. Something's bizarre, man. But I want you guys to know that in the last few days for relief and for help, you guys have given well over $1 million to help people survive. To survive. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, Congress voted on sending $20 billion to FEMA. Big mistake. I got on the phone and I said so. And 1% of $20 billion FEMA has spent on relief efforts. 1%. I'm angry. And without Samaritan's Purse, I'm encouraging you. You can give money through this church. 100% is going to go to Samaritan's Purse. Or forget that. Send it straight to Samaritan's Purse. Franklin Graham and his organization, absolutely top level. Everything's visible for you to see. They are the boots on the ground. Listen, with all due respect, Salvation Army, United Way, all that stuff, don't go there. Don't go there. You want your money to make the biggest impact in the now? Samaritan's Purse. Please give to them. Wow, there you go. You won't hear that now for the next 34 years. So you guys always make a world of difference. This is not a normal service. I'm going to ask the guys if they would put up on the screen Psalm 51. Guys, if you could put up Psalm 51 onto the screens. Why are we here today? Why have we called this special Sunday? It's all about this. It's about the hope is obviously not coming from the State House, and the hope is obviously not coming from the White House. Don't get me wrong, I'm voting for Trump, but not for the reasons I used to want to vote for Trump. Trump has changed his mind on a lot of things. And there's good people letting him know. I will tolerate now Trump to get some of the other guys elected. For example, I want Mike Johnson to remain as Speaker of the House because he loves the Lord God and he's the real deal. But I'll take Trump any day over Kamala Harris. In fact, it's apparent, by the way, if you don't think we know what we're talking about, those of you who are visiting or watching from somewhere else, might I remind you that she's from California and she's from San Francisco, and you ought to take a look at what she was able to do as a leader in that city and in that area, and then our state attorney general, the things that she did. And yeah, it's true. I'm not a big fan of Trump and his diversion and what he's pivoted in the wrong direction. But I'll tell you this. I'm voting for him because less babies will die than if Kamala Harris gets elected. And I'm not going to be responsible for that. I want less babies to die. But even if we got the greatest candidates in the world elected, it doesn't fix the problem. The problem is America has departed from God. And I'm not saying, and I do not believe that God sent COVID, and I don't believe God sent BLM, and I don't believe that God sent the hurricanes and the tornadoes of this last summer. That's satanic stuff. Jesus, listen, when the storm hit Galilee and Jesus was in the boat, he stood up and he rebuked the storm, and the same word he used to rebuke Satan. Well, then what did happen to America? Because America has told God to get out of court, to get out of class, to get out of the public square. And I think finally God listened. I think we told him to get out of our face. Look, there's a lot of churches in America today that they've basically told God to get out of their churches. And you think that's extreme? Read Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We're here as a family to repent, that God might hear our cry and have mercy on us. Not all is lost as long as you're able to pray, willing to pray. So we're going to talk about today, getting ourselves ready for these next 21 days, because you might be surprised to find out that the Bible's crystal clear. God does not always hear our prayers. Did you know that he told us, "I will not listen to you"? If you have something against your brother or your sister, By the way, that includes your husband or your wife. If you have something against them and you don't settle it, I will not hear your prayer. Did you know that he said that my ear is not deaf that I cannot hear you, and neither is my hand short that I cannot save you? But I won't listen to you because of your sins, so that when you pray, I will not hear, and I will not reach out to help you when you call upon me because your sins have separated you from me. God said that to his people. In 1 John, God tells us that we have his ear so long as we walk in the light. This shouldn't surprise any of us, because if you're raising right now Mr. Universe and Miss America in your home, and they disobey you, and you tell them, go to your room, you're being punished, go to your room. If your little kid comes out 2 minutes after that and says, I know I'm being punished right now, but can we talk about what I'm going to get for Christmas? What do you think the answer to that is? God does the same thing. King David knew something about this. This is after the man murdered the husband to the woman that he seduced. King David saw Bathsheba, who must have been a knockout because the king could have anybody he wanted. He saw her and he went for it. He had her husband killed, murdered. Worse than kill is murder. He had him murdered and commits adultery. Not in that order, by the way. He commits adultery, then he has the man murdered. And after 1 year goes by, he thought he got away with it. And God sent his man to David. And David said, Nathan says, this is what's going on. And David said, that's going on in my kingdom? Man messing around like that and doing those things? Yep. Bring him here, let's kill him. And he says, you are the man. That provoked this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledged my transgressions. Church, verse 3 is key to you and I moving forward from here on out. We have to acknowledge our transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned. That's interesting. He seduces Bathsheba, murders Uriah, plots a scheme and a plan, but he says, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. I was born a sinner. And in sin my mother conceived me. This whole human race is sinful. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Pay attention to that, everyone. And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, sign of repentance, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Church family, did you know it's normal for the believer for God to break our bones? Spiritually speaking, when we do wrong. Did you know that? He will crush your spirit in mercy to get you and I to see where we've strayed from him. You know, a good shepherd will break the back leg of a rebellious lamb. Did you know that? I should have brought out my rod. I have an actual rod made of olive tree. And let me tell you something. It is lethal that a shepherd uses. You know, the staff, the rod and the staff, the staff has a little shepherd's hook on it. You can pull the sheep out of the pit or the hole, right? It's got that little hook on the end. Not a little, big hook on it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the rod. The rod is what you do to kill wolves and lions and whatever's coming out after the sheep. You can kill it. I mean, it is brutal. And I have one of those things. I should have brought it out here, but I wasn't thinking about it. God will do that. He will break a bone of one of his own to get their attention. Don't be stubborn. Follow him. And so he says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Notice the progression of this. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way. By the way, you know why people can't tell other people about Jesus? Is because their sins will not allow them to teach transgressors his ways. People who are Christians who are anchored by sins have no desire to share Christ with anybody. And sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice. Listen up. God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want you offering this, that, or the other thing, or else I would have given it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. God's word. Father, speak to us, we pray. Teach us, like David learned, how to repent. God, cause us today, each and every one of us as individuals who name the name of Jesus, to see that we are personally responsible for the atmospherics and for the conduct of the culture that is around us. This church at this geographical location is responsible for the community and for this state, for either good or bad. And God, I pray that you would show us how we need to repent and seek your face. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Everybody, so listen, here's your homework. Write it down, please. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm not going to read it. I tried it at first service. It's so depressing, I had to stop. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Why do I say that? Jack, why do you tell us that if it's depressing? Here's the reason why I had to stop. It's too graphic. I'll paraphrase a little bit of it, but you read it today. Ladies and gentlemen, please. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the entire chapter. Why? Here's why. God spoke it to his nation Israel. Are you paying attention? His nation Israel. Israel is his nation. The Jews are his people. He says so. And if he did to them who are his chosen because they disobeyed him, how do you think America's going to fare? And in Deuteronomy 28, he says to Israel and to any nation, that includes America, he says, I want to do you good. I want to bless you. Follow me. That's what Jesus said, by the way. Come and follow me. Follow me. And if you follow me, I will cause your enemies to tremble in fear because of you. America's not feared anymore. America's a joke. He says, I will secure your borders so that no foreigner will come and take the home from you that you built and ravage the woman to whom you married. If you follow me, your crops will provide so much that you can't contain it. You'll have to give your produce away. Your cattle, they will flourish, and your vineyards will blossom and produce great wine, and your olive trees will not fail. Your women will not miscarry, and I will bless you above all nations. Listen, people will come and you will loan to them, but you will never have to be the borrower because I will provide for you if you follow me. America is bankrupt. He said, if you don't follow me, the foreigners will cross your border and your children will work for them. Deuteronomy 28. You want to know what's in the store for America's future? Read Deuteronomy 28. You say, Pastor, I don't like this. Of course you don't like this. This is why we're talking about it. Our nation's in trouble. What are we supposed to do? Play a violin on the Titanic right now? We've got an election which is an absolute laughingstock. Why? Our nation has lost its way. You mentioned something to our national leaders about God, and if they could have you arrested, they would. I mentioned something recently to our national leaders about God, and I was able to get out of town quick enough. D.C., that is. And I'm not stupid, so what I did was is I put together a prayer. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, asked if I would pray in Congress. So I said yes, and I went, and I took a bunch of prayers from America's history, from 1740 to about 1780, put together a prayer and delivered it to Congress. And then I had to hurry back home to be with you, so I ran out of there, got on an airplane, came back home. And by the time I got back home, 26 members of Congress had issued a condemnation of my prayer, and they sent an open letter questioning House Speaker Mike Johnson as to his decision-making process as to how they could have let me pray in the United States Capitol building. Here's the deal. I prayed a prayer of prayers that had been prayed in that same building back from 1774. You say, what's your point? My point is, when I prayed historical, accurate prayers in front of them, our national leaders are so stupid of American history that they couldn't recognize history when they saw it, and they wound up condemning it. That's indicative, and that's indicting. They condemned American history because they don't know history. So I'm going to give you a history lesson. Are you ready?
Yes.
Ask yourself, as you listen, what did I say that was worthy of 26 members to condemn me? What did I say that was so wrong? Watch.
The house will be in order. The prayer will be offered by the guest chaplain, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, Chino, California.
Let's pray. Almighty God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, together we come before you in humility as a people in need of your forgiveness, your mercy, your goodness, and your grace. For these 250 so years, our fathers in this Congress have prayed for your guidance and protection. And so we stand here in humble petition that you today might do the same. That this nation and its unparalleled constitution, your great gift to all freedom-loving people, might be renewed here and across this land as a beacon of hope to all who seek peace. I ask you today, Father, to bring to us a great awakening of righteousness and confidence in you, who alone is mighty to save. Hear my cry in this hour of great need that we might be humbly blessed before you in the repentance of our national sins. You, Almighty God, are the source of all wisdom, and there is no wisdom but that which comes from you. So please come upon those here who are the stewards over the business of our nation with your wisdom which comes from above, and with your holy fear knowing that your coming day of judgment draws near, when all who have been and are now in authority will answer to you, the great judge of heaven and of earth, for the decisions that they make here in this place. I offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and our crucified Savior and resurrected Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So that's how you get in trouble. That's how you get in trouble in Washington, D.C. My point is this, not to belabor you with that video, but to tell you that they couldn't even recognize our history nor truth when it was presented. And God will not bless a nation who has forgotten him. It's not like we're talking about some other country. We're talking about a nation that was founded unlike any other nation in the history of man. And now we're at this hour where we can't even function right in the sense of even bringing aid and support to our own citizens because we have bankrupted ourselves in the spending of things that are offensive to God. For one thing, Planned Parenthood, an abortion mill, is the number one recipient of tax-deductible donations in this entire nation, more than a church, any church. It's the nation's largest 501c3, and it's devoted to the destruction of children. And God said in his word that I will destroy any country that causes their children to pass through the fire into the arms of Moloch and Remphan, the ancient pagan gods. When women would give birth, and they would take the child, Jewish women would give birth, and they would take the child, and they would sacrifice the child on the hot, burning, amber arms of this idol, and they would roll right down into the cauldron of that idol's belly, Moloch. And God says, for that I will destroy you and drive you, Israel, to the furthest ends of the earth. And he did. Every nation in the world's got a Jew in it because Israel sinned against God and he dispersed them from the land, and that land lay vacant for 2,000 years until 1948. God started to bring that nation back. As you well know in this church. And now we're at this moment of time when we're watching our country die. America, unless there's a miracle, America will die. America may be on life support right now. We may be cruising along thinking everything's fine. And we have no idea that the throttle was turned off and we're just moving on. What is it, inertia? Is that the right word? Or momentum? One or the other. Inertia. Where your own weight will carry you until it dissipates and you stop on the track or you stop in the middle of the sea because there's no more propellant. God has been the propellant of America. It was God who made this nation work. And we've replaced him. Like I said earlier, we told him to get out. And I think he left. And you think about the evidence of this. America tells God to get out, but then America is the most worrisome nation on the face of the earth. We take more drugs to mitigate our worry than any other country on earth. We're the most medicated nation on earth. E.M. Bounds, the great writer, says, prayer is the very link that connects us to Almighty God. Pray. What do you think about when I say the word pray, or when you read the word prayer, or to pray, or somebody says, oh my gosh, we better pray. Why? What's wrong? Like it's break glass in case of emergency. It's why do we need to pray? My goodness, listen, friend, I'm sorry to say this, but I'm going to say it just straight up. If you're a Christian, you have an overwhelming sense of urgency that we better pray. If you're like, wait, what's going on? I don't know what planet you're on. Good is evil. Evil is good. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Up is down. Down is up. And you're a fool if you think that you should vote for a pro-life candidate. You silly Christian. You're not allowed to vote. You're a Christian. Just sit down and shut up and take it, because we'll dish it out from here. That's called a democracy, and we don't have one of those. We have a republic, and that's a big difference. Isn't it just like the enemy to sneak into the camp and then raise the flag over a biblical issue and claim it their own? Ladies and gentlemen, on your ballot that arrived in your, at your house the last few days, people in California are going to be given the opportunity, and you read it, you just read it. Read that bill or read that proposition, and with the stroke of a pen, or somebody not knowing what they're doing or talking about, can vote a certain way, and all of a sudden you're going to change our state constitution if you don't know what you're doing. And you can marry a donkey, or you can marry a brick, or you can marry your sister if that bill passes. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1, woe to those who write misfortune for the people and issue dangerous decrees as law. Isaiah 10:1. But our nation needs God. But listen, everybody, don't say the word revival. I'm pretending right now. It's just us right now together. I'm pretending we're not streaming or broadcasting. I don't want to know anybody else but you right now. Listen. You sing songs, you hear books, you hear everything talked about revival. Revival, revival, we need revival. I want to ask you a question. I always get a little nervous when I hear that. Why? Because this is the way my brain thinks. We need a revival, man. What are we going to revive? What are you talking about? You know, revival. What does that mean? Revival. You have to have vive before you can be revived. You know what vive means? Life. Wait. I don't think it's a good idea for revival. What's God going to revive? The church of the last 10 years? Oh, you can keep it. The church of the last 20 years? I don't want it. Revive the church of what, the last 50 years? What impact has the church of the last 50 years had on our national presence? Think of it. I'm sorry. Everything's okay. I just saw the Department of Justice report. Did you know that crime in all sectors is down? You've never had it better than right now today, according to the Department of Justice that was just released. Everything's down. Did you know that violent crime's down? Thievery's down? Did you know rape is down? Did you know that murder's down? Did you know that it's all down? Department of Justice says so. It was just announced, Friday Night News. Everything's doing great. What are we crying about? What are those lunatic Christians crying about? Listen, the unbeliever is going to do what unbelievers do. I know that because I used to be an unbeliever. And I did what I wanted to do. And if it was at your expense, I don't care. As long as I got what I wanted. That's what the world does. But we're not the world. We are to represent God and His kingdom here. And that means we do the right thing. And it means that we speak up. But why don't we? Why don't we really, honestly tell our neighbors about Jesus? Why do we really not tell our coworkers about Jesus, honestly? Why do we not really go and witness a school board meeting where your children go to school? Why do you not go? You want to know why? Because of timidity. You're afraid of being convicted by the Lord, should He say to you, you need to speak up. Or you need to write a note to the editor of the paper. Oh, no, I don't want to get involved. Christians cannot but get involved. If the house is burning, and as a Christian, you stand outside and you pray. Do you understand? If my house is on fire, and you drive by, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're saying, oh Lord, may they have gotten out. Dear Jesus, I pray right now that they've gotten out. Your prayers are murderous. You're killing me. A house is burning. You run inside. You see if anybody needs to be rescued. Today in America, the church needs to pray, but we don't know how to pray. I'll give you a clue. The gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the first word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? 4 or 5 of you know. I'll tell you what it's not. For God so loved the world. Wrong. That if I believe on him, I will not perish, but have everlasting life. Wrong. Did you know that's wrong? So how dare you say that? That's not the gospel. The gospel is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Repent. Metanoia is the Greek word. Metanoia. Noia is thinking or the mind. Meta is after or turn. Afterthought, to think again. Repent means I just did this thing. The Holy Spirit speaks to his child and says, you shouldn't have done that. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but isn't God yelling at you before you do it? You're like thinking, I'd like to do that. And he says, no, don't do that. And you know, we have a little battle with them. And then we move a little bit closer. You know, Peter could talk to us about getting warm by the fire. Can you imagine? Jesus said, don't goof around. You're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. And Peter's warming himself with a bunch of unbelievers by the fire. How convenient. Peter, what are you doing here? I'm just warming myself by the fire. Listen, you can't get close like that without stumbling. And God warns us and we don't heed him. And then we cross the line. And what is God saying to you when that happens? God says to you, you need to repent of that. You need to tell me now that you hate that. You give it to me and you don't do that again. Metanoia, 180 degrees, a nautical term. The old English term, by the way, to turn your ship around. Nobody took it personal in those days. The helmsman is steering the ship, and the navigator yells from the back, repent! Can you imagine the helmsman, hey, that's not nice. It meant turn around quick, you're going to hit the rocks. 180. That's what it means. So for us to be people that can minister on behalf of this nation, we must pray. But we must first repent before we pray. We want you to join us on these 21 days, which, by the way, did I already show you this? Did you scan? We talked to you? Yeah. 21 days. There's going to be an awesome devotion that you're going to read. We're going to do this together. And we'll seek God together and we'll pray, even though we might be separated by 1,000 miles. Who knows what? We'll be together. But repentance is the key, everybody. Before I mention a few things, I want to mention this. Lisa, the other day, she said, hey, do me a favor. Read the book of Jonah. Right now, the women's ministry, they're doing a study, and she said, just read the book of Jonah. And I don't know when's the last time you read the book of Jonah, but Jonah, what a guy. When you know the background to Jonah, I totally agree with Jonah, by the way. The Ninevites, in fact, they were part in the adoption of practices of the Assyrians. And the Assyrian Empire, they were famous. By the way, Adolf Hitler learned a lot from the Assyrian Empire and the Nineveh culture. I'm not joking. Adolf Hitler, you heard of him? Hitler, from the Assyrians and from the Ninevites, they learned how to grind bones and make it into either wax or oils or whatever from their treatment of the Jews back in antiquity. Listen, don't think that Hitler's Nazis took Jewish skin and made lampshades out of them, that was the first time that's happened. That's from Nineveh people. Did you know that? So God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them an 8-word sermon. In 40 days, you perish. In 40 days, you guys are dust. There wasn't even an altar call. Jonah wouldn't even go to deliver the bad news. He said, I'm not going. I hate those people. They're horrible. God didn't debate if they were horrible or not. God says, you need to go there. You're my prophet. Go. And he says, I'm not going. And so he goes down to Joppa, and he buys a ticket to get on a boat heading to Spain. I'm out of here. I'm going to Tarshish, ends of the earth. So he heads off, and you know the story? Not the story. You know the account. He's on a ship with a bunch of pagan heathen guys, and there's a really nasty storm going on. And they're all sacrificing to their gods to try to calm down the storm, and nothing's working. And then they said, what do we got left? And then somebody says, there's a Jew down in the belly of the boat sleeping. He was so depressed. He's like, that's it. I'm not going to go. I'm happy to be in this storm. Better in this storm than obeying God and going to Nineveh. And they go down there and they grab him. What's with you? They said, arise, O sleeper. And he said, all right. I've disobeyed my God. Throw me over. It'd be fine once I drowned in the sea. And they said, what are you, nuts? These are pagans. They know more than he does about what's the right thing to do. They said, we're going to throw you over. Lighten the ship. Throw the tackle and the gear off. Lighten the ship. Yeah, they do that. And Jonah's like this. Not going to go. Not going. And they said, listen, we don't know what else to do. He said, I told you, throw me in the ocean. All your troubles will be over. I'd rather die than obey God. So God has a sense of humor, man. They throw him over, and the Bible says that God prepared a great fish. That's a freaky. Some translations say a sea monster. We don't know what it was. It wasn't a whale, though, because there's a Hebrew word for whale, and that's not the word that was used. It was something else. And it just goes... Can you imagine? And Jonah's in there, and the Bible says after 3 days. Yeah. Are you kidding me? 3 days. He had to think about it. 3 days. I'm not going. 3 days. And he cries out to God, deliver me from hell. I bet it was hell in there. If it's a fish or a whale or a thing we don't know of, it's probably hot in there and just stomach acids eating his face off and getting his skin treatment. And the Bible says the fish spit him out on the shore, and then that's the fun part. You ought to see where the fish, the thing, spits him out on the shore. You should see how many miles he had to walk to get to Nineveh. It would have been so easier just to obey, but he wouldn't do it. He preaches, you guys are all going to fry in 40 days. It's over, you bunch of... And then he goes and sits on the hill. And he's like, I can't wait to watch this. Now that I'm here, it's going to be awesome to see him fry. And then the king said, wait a minute. You heard that man's message? These are pagans. That's it. The king says, that's it. Everybody repent of their sins. Take stock of your own life. Figure out what you're doing wrong that's offended this God of the Hebrews. Repent of your sins. And nobody, listen, sackcloth and ashes on your body. No more, no eating. And that goes for the animals too. The poor animals didn't get to eat, and they put sackcloth on the animals. Everybody's repenting. And the Bible says that God looked down upon them and God saw that their heart had changed in repentance, and he told Jonah, I'm going to spare them. And Jonah just, I knew. Read it later. The book of Jonah, awesome. The issue, the key, even the worst of the worst repented, and God spared them for 40 years. I'm wondering if our 40 years is now up. Could we get another 40 years? I don't know. I think God is saying, will you give me another 40? Hey, Calvary, will you give me another 40? Come on, repent. What does that mean? That means you as individual, I can't do it for you. You can't come to me and say, Pastor, will you pray for my sin? What do you mean, can I pray for your sin? That what? That God would bless your sin? I can't do that. Nobody can do that. Well, that's okay. I'll just go to the church down the street and just ask the priest to forgive me of it, and I'll just do it next week again and just keep doing the same thing. You know what that's called? That's called bondage, and it leads to hell. God transforms the human heart from the inside out, ladies and gentlemen, and those who have been transformed from the inside out, God will prompt them to be a praying people. If you're not a praying person, I have serious doubts if you even know who Jesus Christ is. If you don't pray, it means that you're okay. If you don't pray, it means that you don't care about anybody else around you. If you don't pray, the nation's fine. Never been better. If you don't pray, it's all about you. And when I look at the landscape of the American church today, it's rock star pastors and bizarre services of what, I don't know. I think God, by the way, is cleaning house in his church today. But people, we are going to pray, and I want to give you these prompts. These are just one of many. God says that I will judge you and or a nation for ignoring the weak and the helpless. God says, that's important to me. So I have to ask myself, when was the last time Jack did something regarding and helping the weak and the helpless? You have to ask you. It's not just me, it's you. You have to ask you, yourself. My answer is not your answer. Even if our answer is both the same answer, it's still not a dual answer. It's yours personally, because he's a personal savior. Okay? I'm convicted. What about this? This is a big one in America. We're born to be this way. We're trained to be this way, and that is self-reliance. I got it. I'll roll up my sleeves. I'll do it. I'll take it from here. Did you know we have to repent of that? Some of you are highly offended at that. I'm my own man. Maybe you are, and that's the problem. Maybe you're not Jesus's man. I can take care of that. I can do that. I don't need any help. Self-reliance is a sin. What about this? Violent. Bible says God hates the violent. They plot and they seek out to take advantage of others. Violence. We live in a culture that glorifies violence. And when I say glorify violence, a friend of mine's wife, today's Sunday. So, Thursday. So, I think it was Thursday. I don't know. It doesn't matter. A few days ago, a friend of mine's wife came home. She was going up her stairs to her door, and she was attacked by a man coming out of the bushes. He had his forearms wrapped in steel, and he had a steel ball in his hand. And he attempted to beat her to death, broken ribs, broken jaw, lost her teeth, cheekbone just destroyed. She shouldn't have lived. And people videoed it. People videoed it. Now, the upside is this. The police department they were able to track those cell phones, because they can do that now. They're tracking your phone Everybody's. They did that technology. They went to the people, and they subpoenaed their phones, and they caught the guy. The guy's going to prison for life for attempted murder, and there's special circumstances to this. But here's the thing: people videoed it. The Bible tells us that if we have the opportunity to act and we do not act, we're guilty of this. We're guilty of that thing. What am I guilty of? What about apathy? Another thing that we need to repent of is apathy and complacency. Status quo. How shook up, so to speak, is your Christianity? Is it dynamic? Do you see the urgent? See the need? Do you sense? Are you grieved? You know what? If you love your wife, how can you be complacent? Listen, I love my wife. And so it really concerns me because I am a man. I'll always be one. That's no matter what Newsom says. But because I love her, I cannot be complacent or apathetic. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, when you're a guy, and... But I remember we had two daughters. First daughter born, Rebecca, this woman at work. She came up to me and she goes, "So I heard you had a daughter." "Yeah, that's right. Congratulations." She goes, "I raised five girls." I said, "Wow, that's amazing." She goes, "Yeah, well, take it from somebody who knows. If you have a boy, that's easy. A boy, you only have to worry about one boy all your life, that boy. You have one daughter, you have to worry about every boy in the entire county." And she's right. I love my wife, so Lisa and I the other day got split up on a flight, so she's on another flight, I'm on a different flight. And I prayed with her and I just told her, and I just prayed for her and I just said, "Lord, just break any man's neck that gets near her with ill intent." What's wrong with that prayer? That's a perfect prayer. Very biblical. David prayed like that. But don't you want her to witness them on the way to the hospital? You can be witnessed to. Apathetic. Prayer, what? America? She's on the ropes, church, and we need to pray, and we cannot be apathetic anymore. By the way, I mentioned my wife, and one of the indicators in Scripture is God says to the Christian man, "I will not hear your prayer if you mistreat your wife." Peter said that in his epistle. Guys, listen. God says, "I'm not listening to your prayers if you mistreat your wife." How many men's prayers are not being heard? Wow. Listen, yes, it does go both ways, but it specifically says men and your wife. Why? Because men are the leaders, servant leaders. Next thing is this, self-serving motives. God says, "I hate that." Self-serving motives. You do too. You hate it too. Because whenever there's somebody in leadership and they have self-serving motives, they're the ones using you to stay in office or to get more money. Self-serving motives is, "Hey, survival of the fittest, dude. Sorry. Nothing personal, but I just ruined your career." Self-seek, but God says, "I hate that." What about the love of sin? We need to repent of this. I'm only speaking to the women right now. So if you find yourself having these conversations with an online romantic. You're sinning. Or maybe you fantasize with romantic novels. Sin. I speak to the men now. At what point when you click on a website to view porn, have you committed the sin? The answer is before you click. The temptation comes, you give in, then you click. God is not hearing your prayers. You understand that? Ladies and gentlemen, listen. This sin of pornography is destroying. I believe it is the number one, outside of abortion, it's the number one thing that has destroyed men in the church. There's things we need to repent of, everybody. And the final one is this. God says we need to love one another and treat each other better than we would have ourselves be treated. We need to esteem others. I'm supposed to look at you and to treat you better than I would treat myself. That's what Christians do to each other. God says, I hate a gossip and a talebearer, and I'll destroy them. We're going to get ready now for the next 21 days. We start today. We prepare ourselves. So I'm going to warn you right now. First service and second service failed this terribly. God doesn't hear us unless we repent. So for example, when I come before him, Lord, before I come before you, is there anything that you want to speak to me about? Is there anything that's between you and I? Do you know he'll wait before he answers you sometimes? Sometimes he'll answer you instantly. Is there anything between us? God, when I pray to you in a moment, I'm first going to give you my adoration, and then I'm going to give you my confession, and then I'm going to give you my thanks, and then I'm going to pray supplication for my friends and family and nation. The acronym is ACTS. A-C-T-S. Before that, is there anything between us, Lord? This is what the Christian does. And God speaks, and he says, you know what? Here's the thing. I am not gonna proceed on with you until you get this situation taken care of in your life. I want you to give that thing to me. Just give it to me. We need to deal with this now. Your hatred or your anger or your whatever it is or your situation or your lust or your vengeance, it's gotta be done now, God says. Or else we're not going any further, and I'm not going to listen to you again. So, church, I'm going to ask you to stand right now, all of us together. And we're going to bow our heads. And I don't want to influence or manipulate anything. It needs to be from your heart. It has to be from your heart. But we have to repent before the Lord. And if God speaks to us, if God speaks to you, then please talk to him. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God, and I'm asking that we would never be the same from this day forward. We see change happening around us, and it's headlong careening over a cliff. We see people who have the pulleys and strings and the levers and control buttons who couldn't find their way out of a paper bag, running this country, running our cities, or running our counties, or running our states. That's one thing. But you would be the one who would speak to us and say, we have to start at the start. We have to start with husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. We have to start with wives respecting their husbands when they act like that. Moms and dads teaming up together to let little Junior or Miss America know that they're not in charge. That they are actually, mom and dad are living examples of their future relationship with God. Mom and dad is the authority of those little ones. And what a great demonic attack. Satan is undermining the authority of the parents. This is a satanic plot. I see right through that. If they won't obey mom and dad, then why would they obey God? We pray this day that there's men in this place that love pornography more than God. If they had to pick Jesus or bubbles, they would pick bubbles. And that's a fact. They do that every time they make that choice. Jesus or... and you're done with it. My friend, whatever God is speaking to your heart right now, we're going to pause in a moment of silence. Can you talk to him about it? Can you today make this day a day of dedication that you're saying this is it? And listen, if you love it right now, for example, men will always tell me, I don't know why I did that. And I always tell them why. It's not profound. It's because you loved it. That's why. You love it more than God. Well, whatever it is for you, even if today you realize, wow, I'm in trouble, I'm messed up, you can ask God to make you willing. Isn't that amazing? If you're not willing to repent, you can ask him, Lord, will you make me willing to repent? But church family, let's end this service by praying right now. Maybe under our breath, maybe silently, maybe out loud. But let us repent before the Lord. And yeah, repenting means you get out of your mistress's house and you get home to your kids and your wife. Repentance means that you cut that relationship off with your friend because it's going in the wrong direction. Yes, repentance is recognizing that you can't hide anymore. You fooled yourself in thinking that it was hidden, and the whole time he sees. Yes, we need to repent. Being a worrywart is not a virtue. It's not trusting God. Repentance is not any longer messing with the numbers, moving the decimal points around, taking advantage of somebody to line your own pocket. The Bible says no thief will enter the kingdom of heaven. And let's be honest, let's be straight up. We are to repent of calling God a liar when we begin to argue that there are various forms and shapes and concepts of gender. God made us male and female, and anything beyond that is a satanic attack. And there is no virtue in patting someone on the back who's being attacked by Satan. You need to love on them with rescuing arms. You need to lift them up out of the miry clay of the pit. And we need to repent for our imaginations. We need to repent from our lack of Bible reading. We need to repent of our lack of waiting upon Him. I know I need to repent of being too busy. I'm a workaholic, and that's not good. I think if God wanted to, if God was calling me to sit with Him or go over there, or somebody called me up to say, can you come and raise my friend from the dead? I think God would say, I'll take care of the dead. Jack, you sit with me. Isn't that how beautiful a real loving relationship is anyway? You come and you sit with me. But, no buts, sit with me. God is calling you to sit with Him. Let Him transform your life. And listen, I promise you this. I mean, I can't promise you anything. I highly recommend you experience what a lot of people are going to experience. You start with us tomorrow on this 21-day journey. And in 21 days, your life will be transformed. You will have victory. You'll have power like you've never known before. You will diminish and He will increase. You're going to see your family start to get healed. Expect God to bring your wayward wife home. Expect your adulterous husband to come back home in repentance. Expect the things that you could not imagine happening, because God's ear is open and inclined to hear from His children. May we call out to Him. Almighty God and Father, bless these, Your precious people. May we see You move in our midst. And dear God in heaven, we will vote pro-life. We will vote. Yes, we will pray. But America is Yours. I know, we know people have taken it out of Your hands, but they are only people. Jesus, we're asking You to take possession of this nation. And on November 4th or 5th or November 29th or January 27th, we might know who's president. We leave that to You. We'll do the right thing no matter what. Bless these precious people. Love on them, Lord Jesus. I know You want to. I guess the word should be, Lord, help them to allow themselves to be loved on by You. May they receive Your love. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for the empty tomb. Thank You for the love. Thank You for saving lunatics like me. Thank You for saving the smart, the in-between, the not so smart. Thank You, God, that You save any and every color. Thank You, God, of every financial layer of life. Thank You that You're the God of the whole earth. and your gospel is going forth. Christ is coming back. The church is getting ready. And we pray that we'd be up out of here sooner than later. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and all God's people said.